to Martha and the Vandellas to get us going this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I'm still here. And along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, he's still here. We thank you for still being here and joining us. It is Monday, August the 1st. Away we go. In a few minutes, John Berlow of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to be here. We're going to talk about Sarbanes-Oxley. Ever heard of it? Well, it's a so-called corporate reform law. It's been on the books for 20 years. And the question is it time to get rid of it? So we're going to talk with John about that. Stay tuned. And Democrats and unions, they have hardly been blamed at all for what school lockdowns have done to the learning curve of kids. Think about that for the last couple of years. We're going to talk about that and a few other things as well with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi, and his northerly brother, Angelo. So that'll be a little bit later in the show. Please stay tuned for that as well. And an economist gets slammed by Facebook and PolitiFact for saying that we are in a recession. He actually gets chastised and censored. We're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, I think this is a good one. The top 10 greatest racehorses of all time. Of all time. So stay tuned for that at the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, it's August now. It won't get any hotter. You need a nice, clean haircut. You're going to feel better. You're going to look better. So get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. It's just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. And we always want to tip our hat to Senior Voice America, which precedes our program, and it's on here Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Tim Bryce, Berkeley Badger, and a host of others. And they're great. So listen to them here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. All right. So I guess, has Nancy Pelosi arrived yet in Singapore? I don't know if her plane has landed. She is beginning a tour of Asia. She's kicking off her visit to the Indo-Pacific region. She plans to visit at least four Asian countries. But so far, there's no mention of a stop in Taiwan. If I was a betting man, I would say she will not go there. But she has always defended Taiwan over the years from the snatches and the grips of mainland China. She arrived with her congressional delegation just before dawn. She's going to visit with the president of Singapore and their prime minister and meet with several cabinet members. She's also going to go to a cocktail reception with the American Chamber of Commerce in Singapore. She's got a bunch of people with her. They're all Democrats. There will not be any media access, apparently, at least from the United States. She's going to go to South Korea. She's going to go to Japan. She's going to go to Malaysia. And she's now in Singapore. So some people say she's going over there to help close the deal for her husband's stock trading. But Ed's nodding his head. Can we be that?
She just happened to be.
Can we be that Machiavellian to say that? I mean, can we be that bloodthirsty to say?
Just happened to be in the neighborhood.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, you know, she's quite a character. I mean, she's one of these. She's been there forever. I can't remember when she's not been the Speaker of the House. I was a little boy when she was the Speaker of the House. She's been there a long time.
I can't wait till she's not.
Yeah. So the big question is whether or not she will go. It would be like a stick in the eye to mainland China.
Ooh.
If she went there, they're not going to shoot her plane down. They're not going to start World War III over Nancy Pelosi.
What's Chinese president's name again?
Xi.
Xi.
Yeah. She is a he.
He's saying, you no come here anymore.
No, that's Japanese. Now, see, you're getting your... if you can't speak, If you can't speak with a Mandarin Chinese accent, don't even try it.
Gotcha.
Okay, please. There's only a few of us that can do it. And so she is going to be all over the place over there. Got to give her credit, I guess. I think it would have been the fact that she did not mention Taiwan doesn't mean she wouldn't go. I don't think she will, but they're not going to broadcast it.
No.
They're not going to broadcast it. She's either going to go or she's not going to go, and that's the way it should be.
You think they're sitting in China just hitting the refresh button on the computer to see if her plane's still where it's supposed to be?
Yeah. They probably have a little, they probably have a little drone flying around her plane.
You know they're following around.
Oh, you know they're watching her.
Somebody's making some calls.
Yeah. So, it's interesting because Biden and his son are all tied up with things in China, as well as the Ukraine and also in Russia. It's funny that his son was involved in all of those hot spots. All of those hot spots. He was also, I think, involved in Middle East hot spots. So he always managed to go and get his money from some of the most dangerous countries, is what I'm trying to say.
I know they don't want one of our high-ranking officials there being Nancy's third in line for the office.
Oh yeah, she's very high. She's the high most important.
Would we have a problem third in line of China coming over here and hanging out for a bit, or would that be allowed?
I think we would allow him in. I mean,
keep an eye on him.
We have to keep an eye on him. Yeah. I mean, if I were them, I'd keep an eye on her.
I hear they're looking for property over here.
They have been buying it up. Well, we know that. They've been buying up property for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a scary thing. Yep. We don't like to talk much about that. We don't. Before we go to break, I have to acknowledge the death of Bill Russell. And some people called him the greatest basketball player of all time, and they could make a good argument for that. He has died at the age of 88. According to his family, he passed away peacefully with his wife by his side. This guy did everything. He accomplished everything there was to accomplish in basketball. 2 state championships in high school, twice an NCAA champion, captain of a gold medal winning U.S. Olympic team, 11 times. 11 times his teams won the NBA championship. He was also the first black head coach of any North American professional sports team. So you can't say enough about him. He changed the game with his blocking of shots.
Yeah.
He was amazing. He was 6'10", and they couldn't figure out a way to score against him.
Mm.
He was that good. And
you know who else passed away this weekend?
Who?
Michelle Nichols.
Yeah, now tell us about her.
She was a long time on Uhura. On Star Trek.
On Star
Trek.
The
original series.
That's right. She was a black woman, was she not?
Played in all the movies. Yes, she was.
And she was the first...
she really paved the way for women.
Paved the way for women.
Yeah.
Because I think she was the first African-American to play a major character on TV.
Yep.
Yeah. So we salute her as well.
She was great. She played in all the movies, too.
Yeah.
The following movies. She was great. You know?
Yeah.
I think she
was... Very familiar face.
I think she was 89.
89, okay.
Somebody in CBS News had dyslexia and said she was 98, but I don't think she's 98.
No, I don't think
she was
either.
89.
Yeah, that sounds closer to the truth. We salute both of them because they were both pioneers, trendsetters. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, John Burlow and Sarbanes-Oxley.
Where I belong, 'cause now I'm just a lonely teenager.
I'm just a lonely teenager.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727 727- 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap tooth. She's got.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, August the 1st. It's a hot one out here. Well, it's always hot one in August in Tampa Bay, Florida. And I suspect it's hot where you are these days. It's hot all over the country. Boy, we got wildfires out in California again. It's terrible. With all the acreage that's being burned up. In the meantime, a little known anniversary today, Ed, 20 years of Sarbanes-Oxley. And I venture to say that if most people were asked what was the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, they wouldn't have a clue as to what it was. And I must tell you, I did not know much about it as well. But we do have somebody with us that knows a lot about it. John Berlow of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He is a senior fellow and director of finance policy, and he's been a buddy of ours for many years, coming on the show graciously. John, welcome back. And I bet you almost 7 out of 10 people would have no idea what Sarbanes-Oxley is all about. Do you mind explaining it?
Yes. Well, a lot more than you think would actually know what it is if they're working in accounting or bookkeeping. It's one of their biggest. Or for smaller companies, it's one of their biggest headaches. So it is the so-called corporate reform, and it's good to be on the show, by the way.
Oh, always.
That was rushed through Congress right after the Enron and WorldCom accounting scandals. Only three congressmen voted against it, including Representative Ron Paul,
our buddy.
Usually, can count on, as being one of the no votes. In this
Mr.
case,
no.
In this case, he had two others. President George W. Bush signed it on July 30th, this Saturday, and almost immediately it was starting to hurt the good guys, legitimate small business. It was like quadrupled audits by for companies. Was like the cost was like seven times as much as smaller companies. A lot of companies delisted, and both the number of companies that went public dropped and the size of companies dropped. What's amazing is if you look back all the way before stocks, Walmart wasn't a very big company when it went public. It only had 38 stores and a market cap of less than 10 million. Home Depot only had 4 stores, yet the IPOs that go public now, like Robinhood and Uber and Lyft and Facebook a few years ago, they exceed $1 billion, and that what that means is that the unlike with Walmart and HD, the smaller investors who could have invested when those were small companies that went public miss out on all that growth and miss out on wealth building. Plus, entrepreneurs who are out of San Francisco or a lot of other large hubs often miss out because they can't get the VC funding for their early stage.
Right. Growth. Well, here's the thing, though, John. What was the intent? I mean, the Senate voted 99 to nothing for it. 99 to nothing, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see here. Yeah, 99 nothing. 423-3 in the House. So what was the intent of Sarbanes-Oxley?
It was to basically to punish fraud, but you had...
Punish fraud.
You had Paul Sarbanes in the... It was an interesting thing where Republicans hold the House, the Dems like held the Senate by one vote. Jim Jeffords had switched parties, and so Paul Sarbanes wrote most of the bill. But then when the WorldCom scandal off of the Enron, there was sort of the Republicans were like, we'll just give Democrats whatever they want. We don't want to be seen as opposing corporate scandal.
Yeah, it came at a very bad time to go against it, right?
Yeah, literally three, they passed this, and then it became like, you know, the accountants who were supposed to be punished by the bill, in addition to corporate malfeasance, it ended up being what was called the Accountants Full Employment Act, because it was there was a section called internal controls, which could be things like office keys, employee passwords, which may be, good things to, beef up, but, weren't the causes of major fraud. But those were basically all included, the auditor had to sign off on these things, like trivial minutiae, and drove legitimate small companies off of the exchanges and, kept a lot of companies from going public.
Yeah.
At the same time, you saw the numbers increase of companies going public in Europe and virtually every other country.
Right. We're talking with John Berlow of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He had an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal last week entitled "A 20-Year Experiment Holding America Back," and he was referring to Sarbanes-Oxley. And you write in there, John, that before Sarbanes-Oxley, mid-size and even small companies could go to major stock venues for capital. And many retail investors then grew in wealth as the companies succeeded. So I think what you might be saying is that this discourages entrepreneurism to some extent.
It discourages entrepreneurism, but also wealth building among the middle class. There's less opportunity. You could see this maybe as a transfer of wealth from middle class investors who built up Walmart, gave Walmart the seed money to venture capitalists in San Francisco and other large cities who, by law, can be the only ones who invest in you have to be a millionaire to be an accredited investor, with very few exceptions, in companies that aren't public companies and don't follow Sarbanes-Oxley.
You know, this goes back to this old, bromide or whatever you want to call it. Never tinker with the free market. And yet, because everything usually ends up coming back to haunt you for doing so. When you start making all of these regulations like this, maybe your intent was good because you're looking at these large corporations where there was some hanky-panky going on. But rather than letting justice take its course and getting these guys before a judge, you decide you're going to write a law and you're going to blanket everybody with these rules. So you're punishing everybody for the misdeeds of a couple of people. Are you not?
Right. That's very true, and that's something we need to watch in things like, ESG regulation that the SEC is doing now, and, talks of proposed crypto regulation. And the thing is, because Sarbanes-Oxley distracted people with these, the trivial minutiae of internal controls, it took away, some accountants have argued, from the really big risks, and Sarbanes-Oxley completely missed the mortgage shenanigans that would come a few years later in the 2008 crisis, and many would say many some academics, accountants, that was because they were too focused on crossing the T's and dotting their I's in Starbucks, just to notice these really big risks.
So, is there any chance? This is the 20-year anniversary. So if my math is correct, that was 2002, which was a couple of years into George W. Bush's tenure. So is there any chance of getting rid of this thing? I mean, is Congress going to see the evil of this thing or what?
Well, we're still pushing that or massively scaling it back. There has been some bipartisan legislation, some modest but significant, where some of the worst parts are deferred for a few years for new public companies, like with the Jumpstart Our Business Startups Act. It was bipartisan in 2012, and the Trump administration, SEC, did further deregulation to the extent they could under the law for Sarbanes-Oxley. But you really need things like like what they're talking about with the Jumpstart Our Business Startups Act 4.0 that Senator Toomey of Pennsylvania is pushing, and you had bipartisan support for things like that before, and hopefully you will again, because we really need this you know, anything, you know, take away anything that's holding America back, yeah, you know, inflation and this recession.
Yeah, your organization does not get enough credit for the good that it does to keep the free market free with capitalism. You know, capitalism's a dirty word. We all know that now, John. All you got to do is say big corporations, you know, and in the press, big corporations. You know, if somebody says them, big corporations, you know right away they're probably some sort of, you know, they want to stifle entrepreneurism and they want to stifle the growth of companies which employ people and make products in this country and the whole bit. But you guys at CEI have been there and you've been, you know, you're sort of like a beacon in the night sometimes. I'm sure this is a mammoth thing to try to knock this legislation down. I mean, once these laws pass the books, it seems like it's almost impossible. You know, I mean, you'd have to have a large majority, I guess, of Republicans to be able to, quite frankly, to be able to pull this off.
We always make the case that you never know. I mean, we got some things like airline deregulation 45 years ago, other things. So
yes.
Sometimes things or you know, you can create new venues like one of those things that jumpstart our business startups did with like equity crowdfunding for smaller companies. But yeah, we really need a wholesale scaling of this back or curtailing of this. And so we're going to keep making the case and we'll take smaller reform, but we want, you know, this whole albatross needs to be gotten rid of.
Do you think because we're in a bit of a recession now, despite what some people would say, if we're not in a recession, we're on the cusp of it?
Oh, we're in a recession. That's the standard textbook definition is two quarters negative economic growth.
Well, I say there are some that are actually fighting back. We're going to even do a story on it a little bit later. Some economist got chastised on Facebook and PolitiFact for saying we're in a recession, believe it or not. So do you think because we're in a recession right now that people would be more willing to bring up Sarbanes-Oxley for, let's say, elimination? Maybe people would listen a little bit more knowing how businesses are, it's so important for businesses to survive right now?
Well, lefties always say never let a crisis go to waste. And I think there is, in a way that's kind of cynical, but there's something to that. This is a good, a crisis is always a good time to point out things, you know, what we say at CEI, which is, by the way, CEI.org, never needed. During the pandemic, we talked about never needed regulations that prevented things like telemedicine and this ridiculous old rules as far as like that you can't, you know, restaurants can't have carry out liquor, and some of those were lifted temporarily, and some of those have stayed. So it's a time of crisis. It's a time to look at what are the regulations we probably didn't need in the first place that are holding the economy back during this time and in all times that this would be a good time to get rid of.
Sure. Hey, on another topic here, as long as I got you. This newest legislation that they're trying to get through that Joe Manchin has now signed on to, where they claim that it's going to lower inflation, which I think is laughable. It's actually, I would think this spending is going to attack middle class taxpayers and possibly hike inflation. Could you comment on that?
Yes, it's ridiculous. It's throwing a fire extinguisher to a drowning man. As my friend Phil Kirpin said on Twitter, it could be called the Income Reduction Act or the Inflation Production Act.
Yes.
And there are things that would affect capital, like the carried interest tax hike, which people have characterized as, you know, just only affecting, like, say, hedge funds and private equity, but also could affect a lot of small businesses that are partnerships. I'm going to be writing about that at, you know, CEI.org. So, you know, that's, again, it's again, you have Sarbox, and you would have this new attack on capital from this bill.
Right. I'm going to plug you myself. I want people to, if they can, go to the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org website, and look for John Berlow's story there. I think was still there the last I looked, but it's a Wall Street Journal op-ed. It's called The 20-Year experiment holding America back. And as always, John, it's a real pleasure to have you on the show.
Right. And you know, what you said about capitalism is so true. We are rooted in capitalism. And as we've talked about, I wrote a book called George Washington Entrepreneur.
You did.
That's available on Amazon.
Oh, I forgot to plug that doggone book. It is so good. Boy, you get through with that and you go, George Washington, one of the greatest men of all time. Of all time. He was, and you did such a wonderful job with that book. George Washington, Entrepreneur. Thank you again for being with us, John.
Thanks so much for having me on, Paul.
All right, buddy. John Berlow. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Democrats and unions have hardly been blamed at all, you know, for all that school lockdown, you know, for 2 years with kids and the learning curve of children now. We're going to talk about that and some other things with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi, and Brother Angelo.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street by co-host and financial veteran Berkeley Badger. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on a Monday, August the 1st, and we are so delighted you have joined us. So we're looking at gas prices going down. I guess that's the one thing the Democrats are hanging their hat on, Ed. But you have found out, and maybe a lot of people don't know this, that we are lowering gas prices by not only releasing some of our oil reserves, which we have done, but there's an additive, is there not, coming into the gasoline?
Well, yeah, so it's a bit of sneakery and a bit of hypocrisy in this move. Now, gas prices are lowering. Everybody's like, wow, gas prices are going down, but Biden, he's a great guy. Well, nobody really realizes that, you know, a month ago he released some of our oil from our strategic reserves, and now it's happening again. So as of July 26th, we are going to release 1 million barrels per day for 6 months.
Do we have that much?
Well, it says that we've already gone through 70 million barrels. The United States has already sold...
Well, that would be another 90 million.
We've sold 125 million barrels from the reserve with 70 million already delivered to purchasers.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start releasing another million, which... And then, plus, the demand has gone down, which drops the price. Now, here's the kicker. You know that Mr. Green, Joe Biden, the environment... Well, he has quietly approved gas. You know that your gasoline has 10% ethanol. Well, they're going to kick that up to 15% to offset. Now, that will lower gas prices about 10 to 15 cents a gallon. But the kicker is the 15 grade puts more pollutants in the air. Is worse for the planet. But it's okay to do that.
They don't want to bring that
up,
do they?
So we're going to do that. And he's decided to release that. Now Trump did that before he left office to help the corn farmers with the China ban and all that stuff.
Byproduct of corn.
And that was turned down. Now Biden's going to do it to lower gas prices. So you have the fact that he's releasing all our oil from our strategic reserves, and the fact that the 15 is not in all gas stations. Okay, so you might go to one that's 10 or 15 cents lower than the other one, maybe because they can handle. Not all gas stations can handle the 15 grade, the E15. They have to have the equipment to do that. So you might go to one where it's lower and not the other. Now it's only approved for cars. You can't use it in motorcycles. You can't use it in your boat if you have an outboard motor. And you can't use it in your lawnmower and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's harmful for that. And here's one last kicker.
Yep.
You get less gas mileage if you're burning the E15.
Okay.
It affects your gas mileage. It goes down.
So we're going to lose gas mileage but gain pollution.
Yes.
All right. With that in mind, let us bring on board the brothers Ceresi, our eye on the northern sky, Angelo, and the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew. And we're going to talk about that. But I want to talk first, if I might, guys, about this lockdown of schools, public schools. We've had 2 years of lockdowns. We've had 2 years of kids. Now, you got to think about these kids in grade school in particular. This is really setting them back. I wonder if they'll ever recover. But do you see any union leaders or any Democrats? Do you see them getting torched for having done this? Let me ask you first, Andrew. What do you think?
Well, Paul, I think they're crazy. what are they going to lock down again?
I mean, they want to lock down again is exactly right. What is this doing to the kids and their education?
Well, Paul, the core education was messing them up to begin with, if you remember.
Yeah.
With all the critical race theories and everything else.
Right.
Okay, but they took that away. So they figured they can't dumbify these kids anymore. Let's just...
keep them away from school.
That's right.
I gotcha. Angela, do you have any feelings on this? Now, I know you might have some mixed feelings because COVID is indeed, something to worry about. But the kids didn't seem to get it, and they were shutting down all these schools and keeping... I mean, what do you think about all that?
If they shut down the schools again, I mean, they're going way overboard. Katie Hochul's already declared a state of emergency with monkeypox in New York City.
Wow! So we're gonna shut down the schools and we're gonna keep people off the streets because of monkeypox.
Well, I think that this is all leading up towards the midterms where they're trying to push mail-in ballots again. The whole nine yards. I think this is leading up to the.
That's a good point.
It's all this talk.
Yeah, that makes some sense. Do you agree with that, Andrew? That they want to get more mail-in ballots?
100%, Paul.
Yeah.
They're trying, but the thing is, people are ready for this time. they're going to have guards by these ballot boxes and everything else. It's ridiculous what we're going through in this country, and that's why I tell you I'm kind of fed up with politics.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It seems to be a losing battle. I mean, anybody that says, I'd rather go to the polls because I feel that my vote would be safer, you're almost condemned. It's like, excuse me, isn't that the way we're supposed to be doing it in this country? Weren't we supposed to be doing it that way? We wanted the sanctity of the ballot. And now, just mail out. Hey, just mail them out.
Well, I think this January 6th thing, they keep keeping it in the news, saying that Trump should be going to jail. The DOJ is looking for ways to indict the former president. They keep putting this in people's
beating
minds.
Beating us over the head with it.
I mean, the monkeypox, the this, the that, the closing of the schools again. This is all going towards the midterms. They're planting this in people's minds. And believe it or not, these people believe this stuff like they did the Russian collusion. How is it that the American people can be so dumbified? I don't get it.
So you think that this whole thing is kind of a conspiracy,
absolutely,
Angelo?
This whole thing, the January 6th committee, putting this on TV, putting it in the papers, high-profile people in the Trump administration are talking about this and that, and the monkeypox, President Biden getting
COVID
again. The whole nine yards. This is all geared towards the midterm elections.
Mm-hmm. You think? I'm sorry, Andrew.
I'll tell you the Brooklyn Bridge.
What's that?
I believe that this is what they're doing. I mean, I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge, too, you know? These people, I can't believe that they're buying this information.
Do you think they really are, Andrew? Do you think people are buying this, or are they kind of savvy now at what these Democrats might be trying to do?
Well, Paul, we know that 33% believe them, don't we?
One-third? Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the people that are still saying Biden's doing a hell of a job, isn't he?
Yeah, I guess that's about all he has left. It's amazing, though. I mean, look at the Hispanic vote. It is so much against it. He's got only 19%. Can you believe that he's only supposedly got 19% of the Spanish? I mean, Hispanic vote. It's unbelievably amazing.
Well, Paul, I bet the Hispanic people are upset that the ones that came here illegally, that went through all that they went through, they got some of their paisans walking right through with nothing.
Yeah, by the way, speaking about all of that, did you notice that the Biden administration, trying as quietly as possible, have gone down to Yuma, Arizona, where, by the way, there is a big race that they want to keep in Arizona down there and keep it Democratic. And they started patching up the wall and building fence. They don't want to talk about it, but they went down there to do it. And at first I thought, wow, they're coming on board. They realize now that, you know, people want to keep this country secure. No, they're doing it because they want to win an election down there. And the candidate that's running with all of that needs to have some protection from the open border area. Either one of you.
It's amazing, Paul. Listen, the border's a disaster. Biden's a disaster. He can't even say two words without messing it up. He's in hiding with COVID with his 10 shots again that he had. Come on.
Yeah. Hey, what do you guys think? Let me start with you, Angela. What do you think about Nancy Pelosi's trip to Asia?
She flying a broom or what?
Yes, because she's going to get there quicker and it's less transportation cost. I don't know.
Where's she headed towards?
Singapore. She's in Singapore right now. She's going to go to Malaysia.
Or Hong Kong, is it not?
Singapore, Malaysia. Hong Kong is hanging off of mainland China.
Yeah, but...
Singapore and Malaysia are more like island areas, aren't they?
Yeah. But isn't Singapore part of Hong Kong?
Well, it's part of the... It's free China. It's its own country, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Hong Kong is connected to mainland China.
To mainland China.
Yeah. But she's also going to South Korea and Japan. But she doesn't say anything about Taiwan. Now, let me ask Angelo, should she go to Taiwan?
Sure, she should. But, I mean, she doesn't set foreign policy, so I don't understand why she would be going to these places.
Well,
she's going on a vacation.
She supposedly is not going on vacation. It's taxpayer expense.
Yeah, but, I mean, she doesn't set foreign policy. So
no, but she's...
going anyway.
Right.
But, I mean, she should. If she's going to be there, and go to Taiwan. Don't let the Communist Chinese dictate to us.
Right.
What we can and what we can't do. And if they do not go to Taiwan or do anything like that, and they kind of sneak it in there and everything like that, instead of openly doing it, that is caving into the Communist Chinese.
Yeah, interesting. Andrew, if I were her, I would, quite frankly, I'd be a little worried about the nutty, Chinese doing something drastic. But I don't think I would publicize it. I would just go there. And, you know, once she's there, you know, do whatever she wants to do and talk about it later maybe or something. What do you think?
Well, Paul, it's like I told you, I believe she's going there. She's scouting out the new factories that are opening up.
Yes.
To see where her husband can invest.
We did talk about that. Yes.
That's what I believe. And I secondly believe she should have put the whole Democrat Party on that plane with her and hopefully Mr. Chi does what he said he was going to do.
Well, I'll tell you who I would have taken, and I don't care about anybody else getting on board with me. I would have taken Hunter Biden because he knows all these people.
There you go.
Yeah, he could show them around.
He could show them around. He could introduce Nancy to all of the bigwigs.
So you're saying she might sneak in there. Maybe she'd go take a selfie by a road sign and then post it on Facebook after she leaves.
That's right.
See, I was
That's
there.
That's right. I never thought of that. That's a good idea. Not tell anybody. Why doesn't she just get in a little plane, not a big plane, so nobody knows she's in the plane and land in Taiwan?
Yeah, right at the airport. It says, welcome to Taiwan.
She's 82 years old. She don't even know she's in the plane. Believe me.
She's on a broomstick.
You see the way she's been speaking and everything lately? I swear she's mimicking Biden.
I'm beginning to wonder which one has more, let's say, you know, marbles that have dropped out of their head. Is it Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden? I don't. I hate to say that, but
she's put Dianne Feinstein next to him too.
I wouldn't say marbles. More like rocks.
Well, rocks?
You believe
the average age of
people voted for him? 81 million? I can't find it higher than.
Hold on, guys. Go ahead, Angela. What were you saying?
I still cannot believe 81 million people voted for these jokers, you know?
It's hard to believe.
The American people keep putting in Schumer and Schiff and Pelosi. Biden and Harris.
What are you guys in New York doing with that guy Schumer? I'm just wondering, is he locked into some far left enclave? What district is he in?
I don't know. He's down by New York City somewhere.
Oh, well, okay. So they don't know what they're doing.
I still can't believe he's not in jail after what he talked about Gorsuch and everything like that.
Yeah.
It's really, really amazing how the American people are accepting what we have running this country.
Andrew, I know you don't want Nancy to come back. She will come back, of course, and maybe they will take up some legislation. Do you think that in November we're going to have enough of an onslaught of Republican voters to sweep her out? Maybe she'll retire.
She's in California, so I doubt it.
Yeah.
I think they'll re-elect her again.
I would think that if she is not, let's say the Republicans gain control of the House, I'm not sure Nancy Pelosi would stick around for another 2 years. I think she would quit because she wouldn't be the Speaker of the House. I just, you know what I mean? It would be a step down. What do you think?
Well, I think she should have retired 10 years
ago.
Yeah,
that's true.
As a matter of fact, I think they need to put an age limit on our government.
Maybe you're right.
Just like they do with airline pilots, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
65 years old, you can no longer fly an airplane because we don't believe you're capable of handling 300 lives.
Do you have an age that people should no longer be allowed to serve in, say, in Congress?
I'm saying 68 years old.
68?
68.
Wow.
I think that's a good age where you still got your marbles together and you got enough knowledge to know what's going
okay.
on.
Okay.
Then after that, start slowing down.
You do a little bit. Angela, would you agree 68? Is 68 a good year to retire?
Nah, I just say let them serve 4-year term and that's it. No more after that.
All right.
I don't care how old.
Yeah, but you want an 80-year-old person serving serving 4 years?
If they're gonna be 84 running for Congress, they can barely keep awake.
That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm saying. 68 years old.
So, in other words, we could combine them. 68 is the oldest, but you can only serve 4 years in Congress and no more.
There you go.
How about that? Would that work?
Perfect.
All right.
It's perfect.
Hey, guys, thanks a million.
All right, Paul. Have a good day, buddy.
God bless America.
All right. God bless America, guys. Thanks. All right. Let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, among other things, the top 10 greatest racehorses of all time.
This
is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to TAN Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on TAN Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back with the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, you can listen to us live, as you are doing so now, or if you don't have the time to do it with us live, you can go to our website and listen to our shows on podcast. Big Ed puts all our shows there, thank God. OurFreedomWorks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, so here's an economist. He is with the American Institute of Economic Research. And Facebook has censored him for saying that we are in a recession. They flagged him for saying it. Can you believe that? He said it's absolutely Orwellian.
So if I go on Facebook right now and say the United States is in a recession, they're going to flag me.
Apparently so.
I'll try it.
And PolitiFact backed him up.
Well, what they do is they put a blip in front of it. They said this is inaccurate. And they don't ban you.
No, they flagged him.
They put this thing in front of your post.
But even that.
It says this is inaccurate.
It's outrageous. He said, this is, his name again is Philip Magnus. He said, economists have typically defined recession as two consecutive quarters of negative gross domestic product growth. We have had that. So that's supposed to be the definition of a recession. He said that PolitiFact partners with Facebook. They carry water for the Biden administration's political agenda. And he called out the platform's fact-checkers as, quote, partisan actors. And it sounds like he's exactly right. I can't believe that they would flag him. Can't believe it.
Let me tell you something, Facebook, if people do not buy those ads that are on there for, like, you see, like, clothing, like, shorts and shoes and stuff. It's all coming from China. All of it.
All the products.
They claim to be, they lie and say it's shipped from the USA. When what it happens is it comes from China, comes into the USA, and then they ship it out.
Yeah.
So that's how they get around that.
Oh.
And see, Facebook doesn't like take care of that, the lying, because they're lying and saying it's shipped from the
USA. They're being deceptive, yeah.
They're not saying made in the USA. They're saying shipped to the USA.
Yeah, that's a different.
From USA.
Shipped in the USA.
But all that stuff you see on it, don't buy it. It's all crap from China.
From China.
Yeah.
Okay. Good point. All right, Ed, it is time for our top 10. We have a good one. The top 10 greatest racehorses of all time. Are you a horse racing fan, Ed?
I'm not a big fan of it because I don't appreciate what they do to horses. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm
with
kinda,
the drugging and everything.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, that's Ed's horse. We bring him in here, and Ed rides off into the sunset every once in a while. It's a wonderful
sight. Can't afford gas. I got a horse.
It's a wonderful sight. All right, here we go. Top 10 greatest. By the way, horseyhooves.com is the source. I think they're pretty legitimate. The name doesn't sound like it, but they seem to be legitimate. All right, here we go. Number 10, Affirmed. Do you remember that horse?
Sounds familiar.
the last racehorse to win the Triple Crown for 37 years until American Pharoah did it in 2015. Mm. Affirm was born in 1975. He won 22 of 29 starts. Number nine, Winx, W-I-N-X. Winx was born in 2011. He's hands down one of the greatest Australian racehorses. She has won 37 of her 42 starts, including 33 in a row. Number eight, K-I-N-C-S-E-M. King Sem may not be a name that everybody recognizes, but the record for this horse was 54-0. This horse was born in 1874 in Hungary. It's the longest undefeated record of any racehorse ever. Number seven, Seattle Slough. We all know about Seattle Slough. Mm-hmm. Won the Triple Crown. Born in 1974. Number six, Black Caviar, one of the greatest racehorses in Australia, won all 25 of her starts between 2009 and 13. Number five, Dr. Fager, born in 1964, single greatest racing season ever in many minds, never had a chance to win the Triple Crown. He missed the Kentucky Derby. Number four, Kelso, one of a kind, defeated more champions and Hall of Fame racehorses than anybody, was born in 1957. Number three, Citation, first horse to break the $1 million mark in earnings, won 32 of 45 starts, was born in 1945. Number two, Secretariat. You remember Secretariat, Ed?
That was my horse. Oh.
Yeah. Well, Secretariat is considered by many the greatest of all time. From 72 to 73, won 16 of 21 starts. He not only won the 73 Triple Crown, but he set record times that still stand today, okay? Who do you think is number one, Ed?
Well, I was going to go with Secretariat, so I
okay.
After that.
All right. I'll let you off the hook. It was Man O' War. Man O' War. He won 20 of 21 starts. From 1919 to 1920, he won the 1920 Preakness in Belmont. He didn't race in the Derby because he had an injury. His only loss came in a disputed race, and he was born in 1917. Man
of
War.
I saw that movie documentary on Barbaro. And that really, ever since then, that just turned me off to the whole racing thing.
With them breaking their legs. Yeah,
you know,
it's very sad.
Yeah,
mistreatment of animals.
Yeah, I don't like it. And I know they're being shot steroids and stuff.
There's no question about it. All right, thank you for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday. Remember, freedom works.
I'm hearing stories I don't think that's cool. Why don't you tell me someone is loving you? Cause you're my girl, some say it's no longer true. You're seeing some slick.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Zoom.
I'm Steve Kathan.